Thank you for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here, and my guest Shirley Bauman is back with us. She's a certified personal property appraiser. She owns Heirloom Appraisal Services, and we're going to be talking with her about holiday-related collectibles. And, of course, we'll take your questions about all kinds of memorabilia and antiques. So if you have a question, maybe it's about a favorite holiday item. You want to know what collectibles are popular right now? I hope you'll join in. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. If you have a photo of an antique or maybe a collectible, maybe it's a holiday collectible, you can send us a photo at our email address, ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Or just if you have don't have a photo, but you have a question, you can also email it to us as well. Shirley Bauman, great to have you back. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Well, Halloween is tomorrow. And when did we first start wearing masks and decorating for that celebration? Do you know?
Well, I don't know exactly for the Halloween, but I know that holiday started out as an adult's holiday, and now we see it mostly for children.
Yeah.
So it has really evolved over the years. And, of course, as many of the antiques categories that we know, they kind of go along with history. For example, in the Prohibition period, we see a lot of the devils coming out in the decorations for the Halloween because they were talking about the evils of drink. And so we see that as a real common theme in that period of time. So it kind of was an adult holiday back then, and they used it to get their message across.
So what kinds of Halloween memorabilia do people collect?
Well, there's a lot of things to collect, and a lot of times we see those papier-mâché pumpkins, witches, black cats that are candy containers.
Yeah.
And they're really popular. Something that people look for are parade lanterns. They used to have the parades after dark where they carry their pumpkin in the hand, and, you know, we see them in metal and, believe it or not, also paper. And they had candles in them. And so if you can find one of the old antique paper lanterns
that hasn't burned up yet.
Right. They can be worth a lot of money. And if those things seem expensive to collect, greeting cards and postcards are kind of a little bit at the lower end. Not necessarily. We have seen some of the antique cards that had key windups, and they would fly like a bat or a witch.
Oh.
So some of those cards would run in about the $500 range if they were in good condition and they were that wind-up kind.
You wonder how the Postal Service mailed those.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it was a lot different than today. There weren't automatic machines there. And noisemakers is a lot of things. We don't think of noisemakers today associated with Halloween, but it used to be. And they'd have things that they'd shake to make noise, but also horns, cardboard kind of horns. And there can be in the lower end. The horns might be $25 to $40. And those little metal tin shakers can be, you know, $10, $15.
Is there a good source of information, sort of, let's say, online, perhaps, for Halloween items?
Well, Halloween, I think, is, you know, you kind of have to search for it, as I have. I'm sure there are Facebook collector pages for Halloween memorabilia. However, I didn't look for one. But there are groups for everything, so I would guess there's one for that as well.
Well, you know, just thinking ahead a few weeks from now, it's going to be Thanksgiving. And it's been a long tradition in this country, of course. What kinds of items are collectors looking for there?
Well, Thanksgiving revolves a lot around the table.
Yeah.
So we see candles a lot in, you know, the shape of pilgrims or ears of corn or turkeys. And candy containers, again, the mostly turkey-shaped candy containers, figurines, and, of course, the turkey platter.
Yeah.
The big platter that the turkey is served on sometimes even has a picture of a turkey on the turkey platter. But people do collect those. And again, we're looking at figurines and greeting cards, which are at the lower end of the collectibles, and some of these other things, the candy containers, and sometimes those platters are in the higher dollar values.
Well, we have callers online already. You can join in, too, at 1-800-642-1234. Katie in Brookfield has a holiday-related question, I think. Katie, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hello. I hope you can hear me okay. I have a Santa Claus that I got as a gift in 1956, and you wind up his... Never seen anything like it, and I was just wondering if there's any value to such.
You know what, Katie, just as you were starting to describe what happens when you wind it up, you went away. Can you repeat that part?
Yes, I can. I hope you can hear me. When you wind him up, his head nods up and down.
What is it made out of? Tin or cardboard?
No, it's made out of some type of, I would say, like a rubber type over him, and then he has a red suit and a white beard.
Okay.
But it's more of a rubber, so...
About how tall is it?
I would say it's about 12 inches tall.
Okay. Any markings on it?
No. And he's got little white boots, and all that's on the bottom is who gave it to me in the year.
Okay. Sounds like a real treasure, something special. Exactly the value, it's hard to say. And, of course, condition always plays a role in it. And sometimes when the untrained eye looks at something they say, oh, it's perfect. And when I see it, I find some flaws. But don't mean to talk down about your item. That might not be the case at all. But a 12-inch nodding Santa with a wind-up key, I would say you could be in the... at least the probably $100 to $200 range, somewhere in there.
I would think.
Yeah, of course, there's always variables. And if it's made in Japan, made in America, all of those things might have an effect as well on the value.
Would you go online and, you know, look at wind-up?
That's what I would do. Wind-up Santas, wind-up rubber Santas, vintage wind-up rubber Santa.
That vintage wind-up rubber Santa. You can try that, but I bet you're pretty spot on in terms of the value.
Yeah.
So there you go, Katie. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. And Jane in Milwaukee has something for us, so let's go there. Hi, Jane.
Hi there. I have two things that might be ivory. One is a chess set, and I'd gotten these from my dad years ago, decades ago, and the other is a small knife about 6 inches that has a sheath that's ivory carved. And how to determine, so can you still sell ivory or is it banned now? And then what's the best method to determine if it's ivory or bone or plastic?
You ask a great question there, because there's still a lot of questions about that in our industry. And I can't remember the date exactly. I believe it's in about the 1890s. If you can prove with documentation that your ivory is that old, and you probably need to Google for the exact date again, I always have to, then you can sell it. But you have to have documentation for that. And people say, well, my dad brought it from so-and-so or granddad or whatever. That's not good enough. It has to be written documentation to prove that to the government if they should get involved.
Like a sales slip or something.
Yes, or some kind of things to authenticate it to that period. Even though you can look at it and say, well, it's obviously that vintage. That's not good enough. You have to have the documentation. And to learn if it's ivory, magnify it really well. Get a jeweler's loop or a real strong magnifier and look for striation marks that look a lot like tree rings, because this was a living product, and you will see that if it's ivory. If it's bone, you will see little dark spots that are actually the capillaries. So if you see a lot of those dark spots, then it would be bone. And if you can't find any of that, then it's resin, which can be made to fool you on some cases. Now, there is another test that I don't recommend, but it is with a very, very hot needle. If it goes in, you know, you can tell if it's ivory or bone, but I'm not even going to tell you how to do that exactly because I don't recommend it. But you will see that online.
Jane, does that help out?
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Thank you for calling. Let's turn to Kathy in Waterloo, Iowa next. Hi, Kathy.
Hey. Hello.
Hi, what's on your mind?
Well, I collect vintage Noma angels and that I go put on my treetops and at Christmas time, and I was wondering if there's any value to those. Some are lit and some are not behind the wings.
Okay, sounds like you have a nice collection, and Noma is a big name in the Christmas collectibles, and they did a lot of things with lights and ornaments and that kind of thing. So you have probably a range of dates from, they could be from the 20s on up in the Noma name. And again, size, condition, how elaborate they are. They, you know, if they're tree toppers, they're probably all at least 8 to maybe 10, 12 inches or taller.
Wouldn't that be, Kathy?
They're about, I think, about 8 or 9 inches.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And in good condition, and nice ones that are not lit up might be in the $40 range, give or take. And if they're lit up, I would go more up into the 50, 60. Again, if they're really good condition.
Yeah.
And nice looking.
Yeah, nice to, where would you go to sell something like that?
Well, you know, there are collectors of these Christmas, vintage Christmas like crazy. I had an estate sale where they came from far and wide for the ornaments. You see them in the antique malls all the time. You can put them online, eBay or any of the online selling places. And if you have a collection like this, I'm sure an auctioneer could give you assistance because they'd love a collection, maybe not just one or two ornaments unless they're really special, but a collection, certainly.
All right. There you go, Kathy. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. Taking a look at collectibles and antiques, we've zeroed in a little on holiday themes, but we're taking other questions as well with our guest today, Shirley Bauman, who is a certified personal property appraiser and owner of Heirloom Appraisal Services. Jill Nadeau, our producer, Dave Potratz, our engineer. I'm Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network. Taking a look at collectibles and antiques, zeroing in a little on holiday themes, but we'll take your other questions as well as we visit with Shirley Bauman, owner of Heirloom Appraisal Services. I'm Larry Mueller. Thanks for joining us. Questions for her, give a call. We've got open lines, get you on pretty quickly. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234, or email us your photos and or questions at ideas@wpr.org. And speaking of photos, Margaret emailed a photo of an ornament, kind of a nice pinkish, I guess you'd say, a ball ornament. From the early 50s, at least. They hung it at the bottom of a Christmas tree for the current baby of the family. Whenever that current baby, you know, whenever they had a new one, I guess it has no markings on it. Is there a value to this? It's really pretty.
It is very pretty, and from the photograph, it looks like it's a ceramic ball, so I imagine it's kind of heavy, and it has a glossy glaze to it. Since it's very simple, though, there's no, like, dimples on the side or a painted scene or anything, I think it really is more sentimental than monetary value. But it really, I'm sure, is very pretty and would reflect the light because it's such a shiny gloss.
Yeah, it is pretty, and maybe, you know, a couple of bucks or whatever for that. Let's go to Elizabeth in Watertown. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hello. I was wondering, I got a collection of Henri wooden Italian, I think, collectibles and wondering about the value of those. And also, is there anyone that collects Elvis memorabilia anymore?
Well, you know, Elvis is beloved by a lot of people. And again, I go looking, if you're looking for a group and want to buy and sell, I go look on Facebook for Elvis collectible groups. I'm sure it's out there. And so you can find like-minded people on the internet if you've got that. So they do collect him, and I think he'll be collected forever because he was an icon and really changed music into the rock and roll era.
Sure.
And Henri, anything Henri generally is collectible. Henri is a company from Italy, and they did some very fine carvings. And if the item has the name of the artist, that helps. It would probably be on the bottom of the item. And you can, again, look on there. Different artists are more collected than others. And so Henri is a name. Look for the artist. If that's on there, that will help. And which artist it is will even bring it up further. So it sounds like you've got a nice collection.
Yeah, it sure does, Elizabeth. I hope that helps.
Thank you. Yes, it's a beautiful collection. Thanks for your help.
Mm-hmm. Smitty in Cibola, Iowa?
Yes, good morning, Larry.
Hi.
I sound like you have a pretty good guest there. I haven't caught her name yet, but she seems pretty well informed. It's something that I'm curious about. My mother had a couple of pieces of kitchen pottery, or whatever you might call it, kitchenware, masonry, that jewel tea pattern. I don't know the company name, but I've been collecting a few of those at auction when I see them. I was wondering if your guest could give an overview of how many thousands of pieces are out there and what the values might be of all the teapots and the coffee pots and such.
Yeah.
And custard cups that are out there. And if, I know they're collectible. A lot of people like that pattern, even though it's kind of basic.
Is it the autumn leaf pattern?
Yes, that autumn leaf pattern.
There are different patterns by Jewel Tea, but the autumn leaf is the most popular. And they did make thousands of pieces. And, of course, it's the most unusual pieces that are more valuable. There are certain cookie jars that are more valuable than, say, the coffee cups or the, you know, gravy boats rather than the sauce dishes. There are bean pots. There are all kinds of pieces. And a lot of times in the early years, they were collected through grocery store giveaways.
Oh.
So they're generally around the 40s, 50s era. The better the condition, again, the more valuable. If the coffee cups are stained, they go down in value. If there are, if the painting, the design is wearing because it's been washed so often, that makes a difference. They have gone down in more recent years, down in value, as most of the ceramic collectibles have in this period. They're readily available, and once we had the internet, they became even more readily available. So you might find pieces as low as a few dollars for small pieces, and they can go up into the $100, $100, maybe $125 to $150 a piece for something very unusual and special in excellent condition. So it varies what your pieces are, but I can't tell you how many were made. Because, you know,
there were thousands.
Thousands. And like there were pitchers made, and there were different styles of pitchers, not just a pitcher. There's the round ice lip pitcher and the tall, narrow one. And so there's all kinds of pieces.
All right. There we go. And actually, they probably there's probably even a site that has.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm sure you can find a lot about them on the internet. The thing you want to watch out for on the internet if you're trying to look for values is. People can ask anything they want, any price they want, but is that what it really sells for? So you want to look at completed sales if you're trying to get a value on the internet. Completed sales, not asking prices.
There you go, Smitty. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. Shirley Bauman, our guest today. She owns Heirloom Appraisal Services. Always great to have her with us. And we turn next to Anna in Lake Nabagamon. Hi, Anna.
Hello.
What can we do for you?
Well, I have a 10-inch ceramic base that It has a Chinese motif, or maybe Japanese, more like Chinese, I think. But it looks like it's been dipped in like gray, light gray paint, and the inside is all this light gray. But the bottom, there's a circle around the bottom that's rough, that hasn't been painted. Then the rest of it has two panels with flowers on opposite sides and two panels with people on opposite sides. And I know they're hand-painted because over that gray, light gray base, because you can feel the gobs of paint, but it looks like it's not.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, and the there's a label on the bottom. Not a label. It's a diamond shape, red diamond. Yeah, diamond shape by 7/8 by 1/2 inch.
Is there anything inside that diamond?
Yes, China. C-H-I-N-A, and it's all capital letters.
Okay. Your item was made in China with that mark, but it was probably made for the export market. Otherwise, if it were something else, I think it would have the company name on it. So when it just says China and from your description, that's probably the case. Hand-painted is nice, and you can tell. And if you can't feel it, some people, you can... again, magnify it and often see the brush strokes from a hand-painted piece. And hand-painted is more desirable than a decal-decorated piece. I can't give you an exact value because, of course, I can't see it to know if it's a very common decoration or not. In that period of time, in the earlier periods where people didn't travel like we did now, the Asian culture especially was often, or the, you know, Asian designs were often coveted because people didn't get to travel there very often. So they liked to get that, it was exotic to them. So it was probably an export piece. And my guess, without knowing any more about it, is that it might be in the $50 to $100 range.
Yeah, yeah, for hand-painted.
Yeah,
yeah, for sure. Anna, there you go. Thank you so much. On to Nan in Winona, Minnesota. Hi, Nan.
Hi. I have some Christmas ornaments from the 1950s, possibly the 40s. The icicles and the stars that glowed in the dark, they're plastic. Are they worth anything now? Or?
Yes, collectibles from that mid-century period are getting more and more popular. You know, the mid-century modern has been a common decor scheme now. Young people are really looking for it. So all of the trappings from the modern period of the 50s are getting to be collectible. I would say they're not particularly valuable yet, but they're starting to get collectible. So you're probably looking in, depending on size and how elaborate they are, in the five to possibly 10 or even more for a very special one, a piece. And I would predict that they're probably going to go up because they are can be attributed to an era.
I was just thinking, as you were talking, I was thinking about those icicles because my mother and dad had those icicles that kind of glowed in the dark a little bit.
The icicles are probably just a few dollars a piece now, but the more elaborate stars and Santas and that kind of thing will go up a little bit higher.
Yeah. So there you go, Nan. Thank you so much for calling. And Mary in Pewaukee, thanks for waiting. What's on your mind?
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be on the show. And I have a question regarding postcards that my mother had received. Now, so they are made out, but they do have the dates on there from the 40s. And I just wondered, they're not any holiday or anything special, so I wondered if they were worth anything. I have about 8 of them in a postcard collection booklet. And then secondly, though, I wanted to ask if there is anyone out there that does this or how to find out if someone does this where you have several collectibles that you want, you have appraised, and then someone else would help you sell them for someone that either doesn't have time or they're not computer savvy, you know, posting them on different sites so that you can sell your collectibles and they get a 10% or what have you.
Yeah, and well, just to go back to the postcards for a minute, what are they, what is portrayed on the front side of the postcard?
I don't recall, and I didn't have time to locate them before I made the phone call. I wanted to get in before, you know, the show. We have them tucked away somewhere, and I just have, I don't recall the pictures. But there are pictures on the postcard, you know, old-timey look, you know, from the 40s, so...
Photos or landscapes?
Photos. I think mainly they were drawings, not pictures of, not photographs, but pictures that were drawn, you know, like a postcard you'll find, you know, now, but I don't recall. I know they're different. They're all different, each one.
Right. Well, I can't talk to your cards specifically because we do need to know what's on them, but generally about postcards, when we look at real photo cards, they're more collectible than others. Those that were made in a series, and if you have the series, like I had one series that I handled that was 8 postcards from World War I, and there was a story in the 8 cards. This, you know, the man was leaving his sweetheart, and he had to go to war, and then he came home, and they got married, and they had a child. And so they were all depicted in a series of 8 postcards. So that becomes a set and then more valuable. Your 40s cards, again, certain people collect scenes from their hometown, and they're willing to pay a few dollars, $5 to maybe $7, $8 a piece, depending on what they are for their hometown. So it all depends on what you have. Again, if they're from the 40s, if they might be transportation related, some people collect just those. Some people collect baseball stadiums from all over the country. So it depends on what they are. As far as finding someone to sell antiques for you, there are people who do that. And I would look around for eBay resellers, and they might be available. You know, that might be a search term you could use. I have done that before. I'm not doing that right now. I'm not in that part of my business anymore, but I have done that in the past. So you might go through local antique shops to find out if there is someone who will handle them for you. And if it's something special, they might sell it on commission in their antique mall booth for you. Sure. So that's where I'd go and look for those people.
And is there, like, I know there's a professional association, and sometimes that
helps. And postcard collecting and buying and selling is a big hobby. Obvious reasons. There's so many of them out there that you can get into the cross collectibles, as I said, transportation, arenas, that kind of thing. And postcards, just the way they were designed and constructed and the beautiful pictures on them and things make them a big, big area of collectibles. Plus, they don't take up a lot of room. You can have an awful lot of them in a small space.
You can make an album of them and so forth. A lot of people do that. So there you are, Mary. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it. Doug in Sussex, we'll turn to you next. Hi, Doug.
Hi there.
What can we do for you today?
I have a glass antique jar. It's got magnesia written on the bottom of it. It's about 32 inches tall and 15 inches in diameter.
So it's a tall one.
32 inches? We're almost talking 3 feet.
On the internet at all.
Are you really meaning it's almost 3 feet tall?
32 inches.
Wow.
Yeah.
And 15 inches diameter. What color is the glass?
It's painted. It's got white in the bottom, but I think probably leftover magnesia on it. Somebody's repainted the top. The top comes off. Somebody's repainted the top blue. It's got some fancy gold scroll on it on the front, and then it says magnesia on the bottom. But
okay. I'm having a hard time kind of picturing it, but there's a couple things. It may have been an old apothecary bottle that, you know, held a large quantity, because then they would repackage it and sell it in smaller quantities. Colored bottles will be worth more. The fact that it's been painted, overpainted, would diminish its value some. I can't, like I said, I think it has value because it's large. It also could be something that was reproduced at some point, because it's just not something that I'm seeing often in the, you know, that large of a bottle. So I, without seeing it, I really can't tell you much more about it. But again, you might go searching on the internet for, you know, large apothecary jar. Don't use bottle, because that'll come up with something different. But I'd say a jar, the way you described it, and see what you can find out.
Mm-hmm. I thought of Phillips Milk of Magnesia right away.
Yeah,
when you said magnesia.
I thought about the and that's one reason I ask about the color, because they use cobalt blue glass in their product.
Oh, there we go. So you got some places to look, Doug. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it. And Jeanette in La Crosse will turn to you.
Hi.
Hi.
Excuse me. I was just calling to ask you, I had a neighbor that her grandmother died, and she just went through the house and was just throwing things in a dumpster. And so I was trying to look through it, and all the old books that she threw out, there's some even 1700s. And I was just wondering, how do I know what something is worth? Is there a good website to go to about books?
Yes, there are some good websites, and those 1700 books are probably the ones you really want to focus on. In that period, they're often, are they religious books?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That's usually what they are from that period, because they didn't have books for the general public that many at that time. So you will find Bibles and catechisms and prayer books and things that the priests and pastors used in that period. So where I start often when I'm looking for books is a site called ABE Books. And they give you areas where you can put in all your search terms, the title, the publisher, the date. And you want to be sure that you're looking at the same date. And when you see it, they do show pictures very often, and that the cover is the same as the one you're looking at, that it was in a different issue and looks different. So that's where I look. There's another rare book site, and it's no relation to me, but it's Bauman Books out of Bauman Rare Books out of Minneapolis. And they are also a good place to look.
So ABE Books.com or Bauman
Rare Books.
There you go.
I think it is.
Jeanette, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. And you can join in too, by the way. Number to call 1-800-642-1234 or email us at ideas@wpr.org. And you can post a question there or a photo. And we've got a photo or two to look at. But let's go to Mary in Oconomowoc next. Hi, Mary. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Larry. How are you?
Good. Appreciate your call.
I'm so happy. I'm so happy that you took my call. I have a very beautiful turkey platter that I received from my mother-in-law who worked at the Pfister Hotel, and it came from there in, like, say, 40 years ago or so. But it was made in, it says, Royal Staffordshire Dinnerware by Clarice Cliff, made in England, on the back.
Okay.
And the front, it has a beautiful, colorful tom turkey in full regalia, opened up next to a sheaf of wheat, and it has greens for the grass area, and then surrounding it is a floral, about 2 inch, the raised level of the platter is all floral, with a little bit spilling over into the base of the platter.
It sounds beautiful. And do you use it to serve your turkey at Thanksgiving?
Yes, I treasure it, and I use it every Thanksgiving as in honor of her.
That sounds great. What really caught my attention when you were describing it is the name Clarice Cliff. She's a well-known designer. And so you do have something special. The Pfister Hotel, of course, was in Milwaukee. And if you could write that down with it, where it came from, that's your provenance or the history of the piece. And people do like hotel china. That's a separate category, but they usually have the hotel's name written on it. So that may not be a factor here, but the fact that it was designed by Clarice Cliff, she did the artwork there. And so there are collectors of Clarice Cliff pottery and, of course, Staffordshire. But this makes it special that she's the designer. I assume it's probably a 16-inch platter.
It's actually 20-inch wide by about 15.
Yeah, because for a hotel, it would have to be a large platter. In really good condition with her name on it, goodness, that could be $250, maybe, give or take, $300 platter. Again, really good condition.
Yeah, but it is.
But it sounds like you're going to hang on to it anyway.
I will. I mean, it'll be passed down, no doubt. And when I walk around with it from room to bring it into the kitchen, I am so careful. It's like, everybody get out of the way.
Yep. Have those little ones sit down so nobody trips you.
Mary, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Susan emailed a photo, and I hope you've got it up here. It's a centerpiece, and it's a bird sitting on what looks like a nest. She thinks it could be for Easter or Thanksgiving. It's German and made for soft-boiled eggs. And so around that bird are little cups.
Egg cups, yes.
Egg cups.
Can you tell me? It looks beautiful. It's a dark rooster, really, I think it is, on the center of the platter with the pink and gold-rimmed cups around. Can you tell me, is there a name under it?
Yeah, we don't have that.
No, it's not online. Okay.
We don't have that, unfortunately. Maybe Susan could email us back and let us know if there's a name under it.
Egg cups, this, of course, could be used for Easter, but egg cups were common use. So this was probably for a special occasion because there's so many of them. And I would say, yes, Easter, but, you know, for any kind of big breakfast or brunch kind of service, what they would do is put the eggs in the cup and then you tap it, open the egg, and eat it right out of that cup from the shell that was open. On the top part of the picture, it almost looks like there might be spoons there. And they would be used to eat the eggs, but I can't be sure from the picture. These kinds of sets, I mean, are beautiful. They're just not as valuable as they used to be. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
There's a lot of it,
probably 10 or a dozen egg cups in there. In the platter, I would think that would certainly be in the range between $100 and $200, again, depending on who made it what we could find out about it.
There we go. Shirley Bauman, our guest today. She is a certified personal property appraiser and owner of Heirloom Appraisal Services. I'm Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network. Thanks for joining in on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller. My guest today, Shirley Bauman, certified personal property appraiser and owner of Heirloom Appraisal Services, as we talk collectibles and antiques and zero in a little on holiday themes, but taking other questions as well as we go along today. Lots of callers online, so we'll go back to the phones. Richard in Manitowoc up next. Hi, Richard.
Hi, Larry. I got a question for Shirley. I found cleaning out my mom's, all her china that we donated. The one little thing I kept was this little porcelain hand that is sitting on a pillow. It's about 3.5 inches long and maybe 4 inches. And when you turn it over, it says compliments of Monsanto, makers of caffeine, glycophosphate, and all these chemicals, which I despise. That's why I kept this little trinket, but I'm not sure of its value.
Sounds like it might be a dish or a place to put a spoon or something.
Right, a spoon rest or something like that. And that was what you said was going through my mind, that there are a lot of people that are not really fond of the Monsanto company right now. However, advertising is popular. And I think that that does have value just because in some countries those chemicals have been banned. That might happen here in the future. I don't know, but there's talk of that every now and then. So I think you do have something that's probably pretty collectible in today's market. What the value is, goodness, I don't know. I mean, that's a really specialized item. It's small, and, you know, advertising signs are hot, hot, hot. That piece, I just don't
know. Few bucks.
Know. Yeah, but it could, you know, if it goes into an advertising auction and somebody's thinking, oh, they're going to ban Roundup and all these other chemicals, they might really go for that. So it's one of those things that I think you have to watch for a while and see what happens.
So it's kind of probably an advertising piece.
It is an advertising piece for the company.
Yeah. There you go, Richard. Thank you for calling. Bill in Pittsville, your turn. Hi, Bill.
Good morning there, Larry.
Good morning. What's on your mind?
Well, I've got a large chalk doll carnival collection, and I'd like to try and sell it in intact, as opposed to putting them individually on eBay and things like that.
Mm-hmm. So a carnival chalk doll collection.
Yeah, yes. They used to give those out at the carnivals, and they would be in different shapes. Again, little girls, dolls, but you'd also see sailor boys, you know, Indians with the headdress and that kind of clothing on, different motifs in those. How many about do you have in your collection?
Well, I've got about 900.
Oh, my goodness.
And then there's an additional maybe 100 other objects like rings and canes and
carnival
games and trinkets.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Where do you sell that as a collection? I think I would start talking to some auction houses that do Americana, carnival, and that kind of thing. I don't know of anybody that's going to buy that as an entire collection, but some auction house could sell it for you in one auction, perhaps. And they might do a, you know, groupings of the dolls that make sense in terms of it might be all the Western themes together or the, you know, little girls together, that kind of thing. I can't imagine anybody who'd buy it, but it sounds like a great collection, and you've obviously been at it for a long time, and I know the canes are collectible, probably even more so than those dolls right now. But since you have so many of them, I'm sure that some of them are rare and sought after.
I bet there'd be some auction houses that would be interested in
yes,
that.
Yes, I would think so, too. When I think of Americana, I often think of Heritage Auctions. They're headquartered in Dallas, and they might be interested. You might also look in the Chicago area and see if there's a Sotheby's branch down there. Also Leslie Hindman, but I'm not sure if she does that. She has a Milwaukee branch, so it's not that far, Milwaukee, but she's headquartered in Chicago. I'm not sure if that fits into what they do there or not.
It would be, in this case, you wouldn't have to go to Texas if you took photos of the collection.
Right, you take photos of them, give them a little bit of information, show them what it looks like, and then have a conversation. They often have representatives in the Midwest, and if they're interested, they might, for that size of a collection, they might even come and then look at it and help you pack it up and move it as well.
Yeah, so that would be pretty cool. And what's the place in Texas again?
It's Heritage Auction Service.
Heritage Auction Service.
Service or galleries. Heritage, though.
There you go, Bill. Thank you so much for calling. Sounds like you got quite a collection there. I'd love to see a photo of that.
Yes.
Lillian in Monona, your turn. Hi, Lillian.
Good morning. I'm calling about two things. The first is my collection of Danish Christmas plates. I have approximately 50, and I have both companies, Bing & Grundle and Royal Copenhagen. I know that they have gone down in value.
Yeah.
And I'm just curious when I have to move from this condo to a place, a smaller place, I'll need to get rid of them. And I'm just curious as to what your guest would suggest.
Well, it's a difficult sell right now. It's very, they're not very collectible, as you mentioned. They have gone down. And often when I sell them at, have sold them at auctions in the past, they've gone for $5 to maybe $10. And people are not after those collections of them anymore, but they might go ahead and buy the one that's their birth year or something of that nature, one that a picture that a scene that reminds them of home or something of that nature. So unfortunately, they're not going to bring a lot. But of course, if you have
50 of them,
50 of them, and they go in that value, that they, you know, add up.
And you had some tortoise shell jewelry, Lillian?
Yes, the other was tortoise shell jewelry. I acquired this in the 1950s, and I believe it was banned maybe 20 years later. Anyway, I have it tucked away in my drawer, and I'm not sure what to do with it. I don't wear it.
Mm-hmm. You know, you hit on the right point about it being banned. We're talking endangered species laws. What I would do is give it to family members. Let them enjoy it. Selling it is not a good idea.
Yeah, no, you wouldn't want to be caught selling.
Right.
But that's not a bad idea. Friends or family members?
Right, right.
As gifts?
As gifts, things that they can remember you by in years to come.
Yeah, there you go. And let's go to James in Fall Creek, Wisconsin.
Larry, I have a very interesting show going on. I run a small antique shop out of Fall Creek, Wisconsin, and I would like Miss Bauman to address what she means by prices. In other words, if a person sells to an antique store, they might get such and such a price. Or is she appraising for insurance purposes, which would naturally be higher, that sort of thing?
Yeah.
Would you address that?
And usually Shirley does address that right away, but let's do it again now, Shirley.
Yes, and that's just a wonderful point to make, because there is an insurance value, which is often your highest value, because that might be a replacement cost, and you have to go and get it at the, you know, the antique shop or whatever in a reasonable amount of time. There's your retail value. And today I've been talking a lot about retail values. Now, if you're selling it wholesale, like you said, maybe to a dealer who's going to resell it, they might only pay, you know, 10 or 25 cents on the dollar. They'll want to get it. And maybe if they have a client who collects this and that and they know it's going to fit their collection and they can turn it over real fast, they might pay up to half. You know, it depends on the circumstances. But they're never going to pay the full retail price, because that's all that they can sell it for. So they're in the business of buying and then reselling. Now, people say, oh, I should be able to get that price for it. The thing is that the dealers, the antique shop owners like you, have the overhead. They have the knowledge. They've studied. And it's not that they're necessarily taking advantage of someone, but if you're in a place where there's an estate with a death in the family and you have to clear out a house, you have to move those items, and, you know, unless there's maybe an estate sale at the home or something, you're not going to get retail prices. And even if there's an estate sale, there's going to be a cost for that, for advertising, for cleaning it, for maybe repairing it in some cases, like a piece of a furniture or something. There's the overhead of holding it, how long you have to hold it before it sells. And then, of course, there's a liquidation value, and that kind of goes to maybe a bankruptcy where the bank says you have to sell the contents of
the
a
house
place.
Or whatever.
Yeah, the place or a business, an antique shop or something. And that has to be done within, you know, 3 weeks or a month. And then you don't have time necessarily to get the advertising out to all those people.
So there's a lot of different things. James, I'm glad you brought that up, because surely you usually bring that up right off the bat.
Mm-hmm. And it's an important subject. And as you watch the TV shows and such, that's something to keep in mind, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, our guest today is Shirley Bauman. She is a certified personal property appraiser. She owns Heirloom Appraisal Services, and she's going to be with us right up till 12:30 today to talk with you about collectibles and antiques. Again, the number to join in, 1-800-642-1234. And you can send your questions and maybe photos as well, if you have some, to our email address, which is ideas@wpr.org. ideas@wpr.org. I'm Larry Mueller. We'll be back right after this look at the news. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller, talking antiques and collectibles today with our guest, Shirley Bauman, back with us. She's a certified personal property appraiser. She owns Heirloom Appraisal Services. So we're taking your questions about antiques and other collectibles. We've zeroed in a little on holiday themes, but give a call at 800-642-1234. Email your question and maybe your photo to ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. Shirley, Dawn in Madison sent photos of a chest of drawers from her grandfather. She'd like to know the furniture style, if it's possible, and is it worth anything? It's a nice-looking old chest, missing one handle.
It. I'm glad to see the photo. It is a four-drawer chest with two hanky boxes, which are small drawers on top. What really gives it away for its style is the carving. That kind of spoon carving, we call it, that, you know, it looks like it's been dug out with a spoon, is indicative of the East Lake period. And East Lake is the name of the man who discovered this kind of carving or is known for it. And it's probably in the period of 1890 to 1900, right in that era is when we see East Lake. And the hanky boxes would fit right in with that period as well. It is missing one of its original drawer pulls. There are seven of the eight of them, but it's missing one. But it looks very nice. I can't tell from the photo if it's been refinished or not. But since it's from her grandfather, I'm sure she plans to keep it in the family. So for insurance value, I think we'd be looking around maybe $350 to $400 or so.
In there.
Yeah, they have gone down in value recently because the popularity of this era has gone down.
Let's take a call, Elizabeth in Platteville. Thanks for waiting. What's on your mind?
I have a chair that was a wedding present of my parents. They were married in 1911. It is a wooden chair. It's very, you sit up nice and straight in it, which is one reason I like it. The seat of it is wooden, and I always put a pillow over it, but it's, the seat is dipped just a little bit. It's not flat straight across. It's dipped just a little. In the back, there are two, what should I say, bars across it, that kind of thing. The top one has carving in it of a wicked-looking old man with his hair blowing in the wind. And then below that, there's another one that's plain, and it's a little bit decorative. It has some dips in it. It's not just a straight board across. It's a little bit decorative. But when I was little, a little girl, I was so afraid of that old man that I wouldn't sit in the chair or even go near it if I didn't have to. Now I treasure it, and it's very comfortable. As I said, it has arms, so you sit in it, you can put your arms there on the arms of the chair, and it's extremely comfortable. I have no idea. I was told once that there were very few of those chairs made. I have no idea if that's correct or not. But with the carving on the back, it's just such a very special chair to me, and I was just wondering if you knew anything about that vintage.
Sure. Carving on the back is the North Wind or Old Man Winter, they call it. And we do see that from that period a lot. And we do see it on furniture as well. I've seen actually a number of chairs with that carving, and I hear the same story. I was so scared as a kid, or my grandchildren won't go near it. So we do hear that. I don't know what wood it is. If it's a gift here, it's probably either oak or walnut. Because that's common, and in our local furniture in the area, and of course you didn't say if it was here in 1911 where your grandparents lived, but value-wise, it's not quite as rare as someone might have told you it was. I think you're probably talking in the 150 to 250 range without seeing it. That's my best guess on that value in it. And I'd say, you know, enjoy
Hang
it as a family piece.
Hang on to it. Thanks, Elizabeth. Valerie in Muscadet. Hello.
Hello. Hi, Shirley. Hi, Larry. I have a question about some dessert plates. They're made by Nikko, N-I-K-K-O, made in Japan, and they're from the 1980s. So I have a two-tier cookie tray and a teapot and some mugs and some dessert plates. Do they have any value at all? They were sold through a department store.
Well, at this time, they don't have a lot of collector value yet. They really have decorative and useful value. Because they aren't that old yet. They're made in mass quantities because of that period of time that would have been, and that company is known to have made in the mass quantities. So I'd enjoy them as your Christmas service, and maybe in years to come they'll be more valuable.
There you go. Thank you, Valerie, for calling. Carol in Milwaukee, your turn.
Hello. I have been gifted, passed down and passed down, to a complete set of china where the pieces used to be given away at the movies.
Yeah.
If you remember that, way back when.
Yeah, dish night at the movies.
I have a complete set of that china, and I'm wondering if it has, you know, any value at all, or if it's something I should gift to Goodwill.
Well, I'm glad you asked that because it's something I hear so often because everybody's got a set of china from the, especially in the older generations. Unfortunately, the younger people aren't looking for china that they can't put in the microwave or put in the dishwasher. And so they have become quite unpopular and they are a hard sell. When I have done estate sales or auctions in the past, they really have not sold for that much money. Maybe it's a whole big set from, you know, 1900 or 1880s, and they might go for $250, and they're all in good shape. Sometimes I sell them to bed and breakfasts because they want seven different sets so that if someone stays a whole week, they can serve on a different set every day. But that's pretty rare. To find that person. Of course, once they collect their seven, they don't want more because of the space they take up. Young people, of course, are more mobile today, so they don't want to be held down with a lot of those kind of possessions that they might use once or twice a year. You know, you might just do well gifting them to Goodwill and taking the tax deduction for them.
And you could say if you had a big set like that, you might be able to take a deduction of $200?
You might. You know, I'd say have someone look at it because it depends on who made them. But again, the condition of it, how many pieces you have that are serving pieces are more valuable than place settings. So I can't say exactly what the value is. But if it's $500 or less, you do not need an appraisal on it. But if you know of someone who's, you know, kind of an antique buff, maybe they can help you put a number on it or look online.
You know, you told me something that I put into practice here a while back. You said, you know, on some of those older dishes, they're not supposed to be put in the dishwasher. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and put them in the dishwasher. If you're, you know, you're not going to sell them for anything, just go ahead and use them.
That's right. That's right. What's more important than you are? Why save them for somebody else? You're the special person.
So I have done that with a few items that I have at home from grandma, actually. Yeah. So there you go. And I'm finding that it's fun to use them.
It is fun to use them.
Carol, thanks again. Appreciate it. Paula in Milwaukee, it's your turn.
Hi. How are you guys today?
Great. Appreciate the call. What's on your mind?
Oh, I have a Hudson Bay blanket, full size. It is red and the black one with the black going across it.
Yep.
And I did replace the ribbon on it because that was gone. And I'm basically calling to see a little bit of history and maybe the value of it, if any.
Sure. Hudson's Bay blankets are wool blankets, and they have those colored stripes across. And the dark green and black and red, those are the most popular colors. I've seen them in baby blue and pink and all kinds of different colors as well.
And company goes back a long ways.
That company goes back a long ways, but I'm not sure exactly how far back they go. I haven't researched that. But in the past, when we've sold them at estate sales or you see them in antique shops, if they're in good shape without moth holes, because wool blankets often happens, we see them a lot in the maybe $85 to $120 range.
Oh, all right. So some good value there. Mm-hmm. Paula, thank you for calling. And let's go to Viola in Eugene. Hi, Viola.
Well, good morning, Larry. I've got two things. I bought some Rosebud Sioux pottery when I was working on the reservation out there in the 70s, and it's pretty good. The pottery works is no longer in existence, and I have no idea what it's worth. That's the first thing.
You know, what was the name of the pottery works?
It was a Rosebud Sioux pottery. Now, there's a Rosebud Sioux pottery out at Sioux Falls, but this was made on the Rosebud Reservation there.
Are you saying Rosebud?
Yes.
Rosebud.
That's the first item.
Okay.
I am not familiar with the Rosebud Reservation and the Rosebud pottery.
Okay. The next item, I've got a shoeshine stand I bought in the 1950s. I use it for Civil War and special events. It's got the fancy chair on it. I think it dates about 1900, approximately.
And
it's got the little drawer underneath and the big one down below.
Okay. Is it metal or?
It's wood.
Wood. Okay. All right. That is something from days gone past, and I'm glad you're using it for the reenactments and such, because, you know, you're teaching people about a bygone era. The value of them, again, it's hard to say without knowing condition and if there's been parts replaced or anything like that really makes a difference. And, of course, there aren't that many people that necessarily want a shoeshine stand in their home. It might take up too much space and not be something that they're interested in having. So it's a specialized area of collecting. And as that, it can value can vary so much. If you do find that collector who just wants that because it fills out something that from the era that he's collecting in, it makes a difference. But in general, I think you're not talking a lot of money, maybe up to $200. And again, it depends on your condition.
And, you know, that'd be the kind of thing, if I owned a shoe store, that might be some little thing that I wouldn't mind having, you know, just people
as
to look at and see it as a decoration.
You bet.
So there's another another possibility for you.
There is.
Thank you for calling. Hope in Appleton, your turn. Hi, Hope.
Hi. My dad was in the Korean War, and he shipped home some china that was made in Japan. And I was just kind of wondering the worth of it.
Well, again, if you just heard what I said a few minutes ago, people are just not collecting china sets right now. From that vintage, they don't go in the dishwasher without getting some damage. Mm-hmm. They don't go in the microwave. And the young people want to be mobile. They don't want to be held down with a lot of those kinds of possessions that they're not using. You know, there's quite a minimalist movement going on right now. So in terms, I don't know exactly what they are. I don't know how many pieces you have. I don't know who the maker is. But, you know, sets of china, 50s, you know, they could be $100. It might be $200. But it's never going to be the value that it was when it was purchased, probably.
Yeah, yeah, there you go. Thanks, Hope, for calling. Christine in, or Kristen in Madison, your turn. Hi, Kristen.
Hi, Larry. Say, I heard the word Eastlake a little while ago. I have a pair of Eastlake side chairs that are padded that came down through my family.
Again, furniture from that period is not real collectible right now. I think, you know, they probably have value more as a family heirloom rather than currently dollar value. It might be depending on what it is. When I sell those, I usually can't do better than maybe $50 or $75 a chair at best, and that's for really good condition with all the upholstery in good condition and original condition as well. So enjoy them.
Yeah, there you go. Just to go to some of our email questions, Peter was wondering if you know, he has a Castelli chair, and I don't know if you can see that. It's a sort of a gray chair.
Yeah, it's a gray chair, and it's molded plastic on a metal frame. And this falls into the mid-century modern category. And that category is hot right now. People like, especially young people who are furnishing their homes, love this style. As well as the Danish, teak Danish, and that kind of thing goes with that as well. I don't know which model chair this is, but there is a Facebook group, if you get on Facebook, for mid-century modern. I think it's called Mid-Century Modern Collectors and Pickers or something of that nature. And they seem to know from a picture any model or maker or that kind of thing. So that would be a good place to look for that. But it is a very popular category right now.
Ron in Iowa County emailed to ask who he would take a rare Winnie the Pooh print to for appraisal. So a print.
Yeah. When he says it's rare, he must know something about it, because we don't know who the artist is from his message or exactly what it looks like. We know the subject is Winnie the Pooh, but if it has other characters on or not. Who to take it to for appraisal? You want a fine art appraiser to take a look at that. Where do you find those people? I would check with the closest art museum, and they usually have a list of people they might recommend. I know the art museum here on the campus does have a list of people, and probably your local art museums might have that as well.
Kim emailed a photo in of some of her over 100 pairs of Salty and Peppies, salt and pepper shakers. Salty and Peppy, I guess, were the actual kind of what they called them, and wondered if there's any value to those. They're kind of cute, you know, little.
They are cute, aren't they? They're
guys.
Painted wood.
Yeah.
Most of them are just the head with a little hat on, face painted on, but a couple of them have more of a full body look. salt and pepper shakers aren't real popular again right now. They used to be in the 50s, 60s. People were collecting them a lot. This one is just adorable collection, and she's got them in a really nice white shelf that really showcases them well. And again, you can see from the picture that there are all different sizes. Some might be just an inch tall, where others might be about 4 inches or taller. In good condition, Salty and Peppy here, which are the faces, those particular characters, you know, you might find them for $6 to $10 a pair.
Huh?
In really good shape.
Yeah.
With the painting all good and yours look good. And that's, you know, that's what you might find at the retail value.
Jane in Duluth emailed a photo of an object she has had from childhood. It's a Christmas item of some kind inside three nesting boxes. Is a tiny, tiny shadow box of a wedding couple. Supposed to be dressed fleece, which is some kind of craze around the turn of the century. She can't find anything online about that particular item. Who can help her with the research?
Yeah, this is something I haven't seen either, but you'd want an appraiser or somebody like that to look at the research. Maybe an antiques dealer could help you if they're real well-versed in researching. Dressed fleas, was it? It's really just a name they called for tiny, tiny miniatures. And in here you have maybe, I don't know, the figures might be, can't tell, quarter, half an inch tall. In terms of value, I really can't tell you. It looks like the boxes have seen some better days, like they've got some tears on them. But the most important part is the little miniatures are still in there, and that's where I'd look. 1900 antique miniatures, flea miniatures, that kind of thing, dressed flea miniatures. But use that miniature term and zero in on the date for them in your research.
And Ron emailed to say Heritage Auctions, we were talking about Heritage Auctions out of Texas, they now have a house or a broker in Chicago right now.
Yeah, I thought they had, I had read something recently that they had a Midwest representative, and I just couldn't remember exactly where it was. So you can probably go on their website and look for their Chicago office if you're interested.
And just one more quick. We got to everything almost. We didn't get to New Year's collectibles. Is there anything in the New Year's related memorabilia?
Well, the original shakers and noisemakers are small, but there isn't as much in the New Year. Of course, cards are, they used to send New Year's cards often. So those postcards and greeting cards, maybe some sheet music and paper items.
I was thinking New Year's from 2000. The year 2000, there were some glasses made with the year 2000
yeah.
on. We were all afraid that our computers were all going to die.
That's right. Y2K.
Y2K.
And some of that might be...
down the road.
Down the road. Right now, there were too many made and too many held on to.
Yeah.
To be valuable.
That's one if you want to hold on to it. Maybe sometime down the road, if you're young enough, mm-hmm. they may have some value.
That's right.
Shirley, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Oh, I'm so happy to be here.
Shirley Bauman, certified personal property appraiser and owner of Heirloom Appraisal Services, our guest today. She'll be back. We'll do this again with her down the road. Tomorrow at 11, we'll talk about cooking with wild game. And then at 11:45, Dan Small back to talk about Deer Hunt 2018. That's tomorrow on the Ideas Network. In the meantime, stay with us. Lots more in store right through the day.